Talking Tesla.
I'm not sure if like my foot should be on the brake or the accelerator.
Because they put reins on Elon.
It must be some sort of geometrical algorithm.
I don't need to touch the steering wheel there, Tom.
Oh, I'm sure there's some math. So SpaceX, here's the deal. Landing a rocket on a drone ship is key.
How am I expected to drive a car without autopilot? Safely.
You know, I'm not a good parker, Tom. Yeah. I'll be the first to admit it. Yeah. I just think that this is a car company that is run by super geeks. All the other cars are going to be stupid cars compared to this car.
I remember that. You've got a Model X. I've seen the future, and it is light pole charging.
No, I wouldn't call it a screw-up. Do you like your Model X?
God, it's beautiful.
You ready to do this?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready, Laney 9300?
Oh. I am ready, Robert.
I listened to that show. I got so sick of hearing that referral code. Elon's going, I can't believe Elon lets you configure a Model 3.
What are you talking about? Why wouldn't he? All right, shall we? Let's get started. Talking Tesla 116, also known by some people
yes,
as 116.
116.
Also known by other people as the elephant in the room. Let's start with this, Robert. Mel got his invitation.
Well, first you got yours.
Well, I got my, I understand that. I got my invitation.
Yes.
Mel got his invitation.
Yes.
And we were in the comfort of the studio recording the event live when it went live. And you had been in line in Century City for, I don't know, umpteen hours at that point.
Actually, if I had been in Century City, I would have gotten to have shook hands with one Elon Musk.
You weren't in Century City?
I was in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica, that's right.
This is trivia that no one at all cares about.
You were in Santa Monica.
I did wake up that morning at like 5 in the morning.
Because you were like, I'm going to be first because if I go in line, that puts me first. But it didn't, Robert. And how do you feel today? What's your current delivery date estimate on the website for a first production vehicle? Do you know?
No. I wasn't even looking because I was saddened. But
are you okay?
You know, it's sort of like being back in high school when you're not the popular kid.
You're not holding it against us though. We're not the bullies here, right?
No, you're not. Whew. It's just about being unpopular.
I don't think that's what it is. I honestly
don't either.
I don't know what it is. It's interesting how there hasn't been a massive amount of backlash except on our Twitter account. So for those of you who don't know, I got an invitation midweek to configure my Model 3 with a 4-week delivery date the very next day. And there was, let's call it, frivolity and excitement within the nation. and let's just be honest about that. So basically, we got our invitations and you have not. What are your feelings about that, really? I mean, I understand. Of the three of us, you are, if you could have a Tesla chest tattoo, you probably would. You are the fan. You are a member of the Los Angeles Tesla Club Executive Committee. Staff, personality, human being. You attend all the events. You waited in line, Robert.
I was there in line. I was, however, holding a recording device and taking names, as it will. I took names on people. Hey, you know, asking them all about their Tesla vision, their aspirations for Tesla ownership. And that was a lot of fun. It was really great to meet all those people. But alas, checking the Model 3 delivery estimator on Tesla.com, it still says standard battery, early 2018. And it says first production, December 17 to February 18. Yet I have not been sent an email from Tesla to configure my Model 3. And I have looked through. I get a lot of emails.
Yeah.
And I've looked through every day since you received yours.
I can imagine you have.
Yeah, and usually when I get something from
but
Tesla.
But it doesn't matter because if you go to the website, you don't have to wait for the email, just so you know. If you go to the website and click on the Your Vehicle thing under Manage.
Yeah.
Once you click, once you get to the picture of your Model 3, which is probably blue, it has that manage, the red manage button or whatever next to it.
Yes.
If you clicked on that and your configurator was ready, you would get your start designing now notification.
That's true. Well, I've got none of that.
None of it.
None of that. I'm on the website. My preferences are in here. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it says reservation made March 31st, 2016. It even rubs it in my face, if you will.
So over the weekend, over the week, I made a configurator video and Mel posted it to the YouTube.
Yes.
With a cliffhanger attached to it. Did I push the button?
And?
Oh, I pushed the button.
You pushed the button. Yeah.
It was the quickest amount of time I ever spent that much money in my entire lifetime, and probably will be the easiest I've ever spent that much money in my lifetime.
Wow.
And now thinking back over it, what the hell did I do?
Well, I heard the excitement in your voice.
Oh, my Lord.
It was palpable. And I thought that was really exciting. I was very excited for you. I was definitely living vicariously through you.
Yeah.
And then, boom, Mel drops a video.
Oh, Melvis.
Mel goes through the whole thing. I had to put a couple of notes in here, like I freezed the frame as Mel was showing his choices and such. And I was struck.
By lightning?
I say struck by the wordage under autopilot features. And it said in their quote, that the car will, quote, transition from one freeway to another. And just to clarify, that means like motorway, turnpike, expressway, if you don't live in like Los Angeles.
Right. Tollway.
Yeah. So transition from one to the other. Will it stop at the toll booth and pay for you? Will Tesla pay it for you?
Well, Tesla won't pay it for you. But if you have a fast pass, then you can just dink, zip into the fast pass.
How do you indicate that?
But does that mean if you're on the 405?
Yes.
And you want to go to, let's call it the 105.
Yes.
And you've put in your destination, and that's the natural route. It's going to go automatically? Or
that's
you have to.
The indication here. It doesn't now. It does not now.
Is that not a full autopilot feature?
Well, it's
as opposed to an enhanced autopilot.
Yeah, feature? Well, it's kicking us up. We do have the SAE automated driving, self-driving automation, you know, spreadsheet here, but that's specifically not on there. It also said that it would, quote, exit the freeway.
Exit
the freeway.
That means to get off.
To get off. And it does not do that now. I can speak to that.
So that is an interesting, because isn't that almost all you need?
Well, back rub would be really good. Maybe a gin and tonic in route.
All you realistically need, Robert,
well,
is that to get from destination to destination?
They don't say anything about driving on like non-highway roads.
Okay.
Yeah. Or tarmacs, as they say in Britain.
They call them tarmacs.
Yeah, they do. And when will this feature hit the Model 3? If they're putting it in the sales document, there are people who are going to say, oh, great, I want that. I'm so excited. I've dropped my money.
Right. There are people who are going to say, I'm getting that.
Right. So they're going to be received today.
I'm one of them.
Today is the 11th.
Oh,
we're recording on the 11th. Today is the 11th. They're going to receive, some people ordered like the day before Thanksgiving.
I heard that. Yeah.
December 23rd. Yeah. So that means December 23rd, they would be receiving their car, maybe even a week earlier, which is like now.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. And in fact, on Reddit, there was wordage that said non-employee customer deliveries, but there were no pictures. So I don't know for sure if this week, in Talking Tesla Nation, there are non-employees receiving Model 3s.
Anecdotally, I have been hearing reports of masses of Model 3s being staged in the Marina Del Rey area.
Yes, and I went down and I visited. Yeah, I saw.
And were there masses of them?
There were.
I wonder if those were like the Hawthorne employee situation.
I don't know, but you know, I could do like the old fashioned detective movie stakeout.
So here's a couple of things, right? So that's one thing. I posted a Twitter poll over the week that asked, what color did I get? And the nation has been listening to this show very closely because 46% of you said that I was going to get white. And you are correct. I did get white. 20% said blue, 19% said red, and 15% said silver. A lot of activity on that Twitter poll. So I have a couple of theories.
Yes.
Another thing that happened is I got a Twitter message from a gentleman who sent it via PM or DM, so I'm not going to say his name because I don't know that he wants to be revealed. And he said his delivery date has moved up 6 months.
That's crazy.
Which is a big deal. So now we get to, me and you together, we get to speculate as to why. Now, I think this
speculate. Is... Speculate. No, stop, Tom. This is a factual podcast
not
about the
case.
World of Tesla, and we never speculate.
No, not in this case. So what I think is happening is this. All of the employees that wanted the first production, fully loaded one have been gotten their cars or have ordered their cars, right?
Okay.
And the rest of them have decided to wait. Because once you get into the configurator, you can also push the hold my place in line button.
Yes.
Right? So, and we've gotten through those. And my guess is another good portion, even so, of early reservation holders that were non-employees, Tesla owners, whoever else would have been next in line, Tesla owners, first day reservations, have also decided to wait. And either wait for the dual drive option to not have to get the premium option, whatever, to wait until more of the options are open. Right. Hence, things have been moving forward. Now, I reached out to two other reservation holders. Now, I don't know if any of these people were first day reservation holders. Actually, I believe none of them were, including the guy who had his thing moved up 6 months.
Yes.
But things are moving, and it's interesting to me. So I believe, Robert, that your reservation is coming any moment.
Now, the question
for you is,
yes,
are you waiting for a dual? You have two Teslas. You don't really need this third one right now. When it comes, are you going to be one of those waiters who's like, let's see what the dual? Because my guess is you're always going to get the big battery. You're probably always going to want the power seats just so you can have the driver profiles. So that doesn't change. So the only thing that really changes for you is, A, maybe new battery chemistry comes out in the next 6 months, and we'll get to that in some of these other stories.
So let's be clear.
Yeah.
I have a Tesla Model S, 90 kilowatt battery car, and I love it.
Oh, beautiful car.
I'm not going to be giving it up for a Model 3.
No, of course not.
The question is, and what you're doing is you're literally trying to get into my bedroom there, Tom.
I'm trying to get into your bedroom because your wife also has another S in your driveway.
Exactly, and this is the discussion that we've been having.
Uh-huh.
Should she, or does she want to get the Model 3, the smaller, a little more updated, which she's not so into the updated stuff, a little smaller, a little longer battery range, or not? Those are the two issues for her, is that it's smaller, maybe easier to drive and park.
A little bit smaller.
And gives her a longer battery range. Mm-hmm. Because it's really interesting. I may have experienced this, but I didn't see it in myself, this whole range anxiety thing. But it is very evident now. She drives a car that's got 240 miles of range, if you really pump it up all the way. Yet she is sort of like Mel. She does not drive very much.
Yeah.
Right? I drive 52, 55 miles each way to work.
An order of magnitude more than her.
And I drive to all these Tesla events.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah. And at the Tesla events, we go on drives.
Oh.
So there's a lot of driving in my car, right? My car's like, whatever, a little over 6 months old, and it's got over 12,000 miles on it.
Impressive right there.
Yes. And I don't really think about the range. Every so often, I look down, I go, where is my range? Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
I'm good.
And I'm driving all this much. So it doesn't really affect you that much. Uh-huh. And so imagine and probably most everybody who's listening to this show don't have to imagine because they experience this. Oh my God, my car's only got 140 miles on it.
Right.
I better charge up before I go to Trader Joe's, which is 4.1 miles away or even 1.1 mile away.
It's
such a psych out. It's such a mental trip, this whole thing about range. So the question for her is, what does she want to do? And at this point, we are up in the air. So this may be why I am not as impacted. I am a little bit, I feel a bit of a sob in the background, but I'm not as impacted as I would be if this was the car I was waiting for. If I were you, Tom, and you were waiting and Mel and I had configured, I don't think I could keep it together.
I would be losing it.
Yes.
I would actually be understanding if you were ahead of me.
Right.
No problem. Yeah. I would have no issues with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I purchased about 8 minutes before Melvis.
Oh,
on you guys online were, that day because we were yammering and drinking and all that other good stuff.
That's it. So, and so a number of people have written to me on the Twitter. A
lot of sympathy for you out there, Rob.
And if you haven't followed me on Twitter, it's a lot of fun. I post some kind of crazy stuff. At RROSENBL. That's my name, but just shortened. And they're like, what the heck is up with this? What is up with this? Quite a few people have commented about that. And again, I kind of feel this like shameful embarrassment on behalf of Tesla. Like, if they said they were going to do it, in other words, place owners ahead of non-owners, place people who waited in line in some sort of a coveted position, then why aren't they? And of course, this is the reality. Like, we're going to deliver a Roadster in 2020. Will it come out in 2020? When did the X come out? And so on and so forth. They're doing well, I think, on the Model 3. You know,
but did they lose the list? Of people who showed up
that
day?
Maybe that is what happened. They were like, oh my God, who erased that column of who actually ordered at what point in time?
Oh, so that's that, Robert. You haven't gotten your configurator yet. You will very soon. You didn't really answer the question, I don't think, as to whether or not you're going to order right away or you're going to wait. Let's just, yes or no.
I have car down as right away and one car down as waiting for dual drive.
So there's three of you in your family.
Yes.
And you're slowly etching towards four Teslas.
Well, I had anticipated selling Generation 1 Model S, 6 months ago when I was picking up Generation 4.
Yeah.
But my wife, she said, well, maybe I'll drive it for a little while.
Okay. So once the three comes, the S1 will go. So you have S1, have S2, we have 3-1, and then we have a reservation. Well, you have a reservation for 3-1 and 3-2. You're going to need some sort of like key fobs, like stand to hold all of the keys to your car.
Well, actually, I bought, the really nice silicone Tesla fob covers.
I like those.
Yeah. I've got a bunch in black for the, I've got two. In black for the Generation 4 car. Uh-huh. And Generation car, I happen to have three keys, and I got those in silver. Mm. And so the keys are color-coded.
Oh, there you
go. It's true. Life
of course
is,
they are.
Life is much simpler
Shocker.
Now.
Yeah. Shocker.
That was definitely a $50 right. investment that so was good.
So you're going to get the three more than likely right away. You're going to sell the S, maybe to Tesla, maybe individually. Now, there aren't a lot of CPOs available.
Yeah, I listened to that episode finally because, I'd like to keep up on you, Tom, and keep track of you and anything else you say.
See what's going on.
And in fact, I had a couple of things I needed to mention about that show. But CPOs, you said there were only 13 in the states of America.
That's what I looked.
That's unreal.
Very low amount. I haven't looked this week to see what that website says, but very low. All right. Should we get into the meat of the matter here?
Yes.
We're going to start with a Patreon post, which comes from a patron.
I think this is a great letter. Thanks, Don Miller.
So he thinks we need to warn people that fast charging of a non-Tesla can be expensive.
Super? Holy Mac.
One Bolt owner paid $88 to charge her Bolt on an 800-mile trip that she estimated would have only cost $84 in a 24-mile-per-gallon ICE car.
In other words, she paid more to charge her Bolt one out of multiple times on a trip.
Because fast charging is expensive.
Yeah, it is, if you're not a Tesla user. And in fact, that, I should say, people will say, oh, wait, Model 3, you're going to have to pay for supercharging. But at Tesla's rate, they're saying they're not going to be making money, profit,
right,
on the supercharging.
But they haven't announced that rate for the 3, have they?
Well, it's the same rate. It's the non-covered, the non-supercharger for life rate. In California, it's 20 cents a kilowatt hour.
So to fully charge a Model 3 to 75 kilowatts would be approximately $15.
$15.
Which is
a lot less than $88. That is a lot.
So if you were to go, that's the equivalent at $3 a gallon of putting 5 gallons of gas in your car.
Yeah.
If you were driving a car that was 25 miles to the gallon, that's about 125 miles of range.
Right.
So that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, gasoline is anywhere from 3x to 2x more expensive than electricity. Unless you're a Bolt driver getting reamed at some non-Tesla supercharger fast charger.
This is like probably at one of those CCS chargers, probably run by ChargePoint. And they are very expensive. When we looked into it with Katie, the CCS near our work, it was much more expensive in a lot of ways than gas. However, as we have said ad nauseum on this show, there are societal expenses that are not factored into that.
Yeah. Well, so it's less of an issue if you're a Nissan Leaf driver, because the majority of CHAdeMO chargers, the last time I looked, were at Nissan dealers.
Yeah.
And those are free of charge. If they haven't been, iced.
Right, if they haven't been changed. So what Don also adds is the VW's, the Volkswagen diesel settlement allows them to charge and make a profit on any of the chargers they install. I don't love that they can make a profit long term. Like, they could turn that penalty around and actually make money in the long term off of that.
Yes.
That kind of, I don't love that. I don't love that very much.
Yeah.
I think they should be turned over to the municipalities. And we'll talk a little bit about Sacramento, which is sort of seems like it's a model city for Volkswagen's plans.
Or at least the first. Yeah.
Yeah. The first city. Yeah. And then Don continues to say your first EV is going to have costs that offset the at-home savings. So people should consider the charging cost, and they should, right? When buying a car, it's not free fuel, but it should be more inexpensive fuel. In a Tesla anyways, it should be a savings regardless of whether or not you have free supercharging or not. In a CCS situation, that's not the case.
So this is kind of like a convoluted advertisement for the Model 3. If you're thinking about getting an electric car, if you have any aspirations to drive it any long distances, then Model 3 is the way to go.
It is the way to go. But as another public service announcement, so you know that we are not totally biased, recently in Southern California, Honda has released the Clarity along with pricing.
Yes.
And the Clarity gets about 80 miles electric. Yes. It's a four-door sedan. It looks pretty nice. I was supposed to go drive one over the weekend. I did not get a chance to do
that.
This
is not the fuel cell
Clarity. No, this is the full electric Clarity.
And not the hybrid Clarity.
Plug-in, full electric Clarity, 80 miles. And they are offering $199 a month leases on that particular car at the moment.
It's not a bad car. I mean, I drove the original Honda Clarity fuel cell, which drove like a brick.
Yeah.
It was very comfy, though. It was very nicely appointed.
Yeah.
And in an electric car, if they get rid of that heavy fuel cell, I expect it drives even nicer.
Yeah, so that's available if you're looking for a commuter car.
Another Patreon, Jack Brown.
Jack Brown.
He gave us, or Mel, a very nice thumbs up, two thumbs up on the Kettleman Supercharger YouTube video.
Check it out.
Check it out if you haven't been to Kettleman yet. Or if you want to watch Mel stammer and or misspeak. He said that the Tesla's Wi-Fi code is universal.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So any Tesla facility typically uses the same Wi-Fi code, ABCD, lowercase 1 through 6. And it's a good idea, he says, to save it in your favorites.
Yeah.
And then there was one last news item. I did throw this in kind of late. I apologize, Tom,
okay,
but I thought it was important.
That's all right.
I got this from the BBC.com that
the, BBC.
The second Volkswagen executive has been jailed amid U.S. diesel scandal.
Where was he jailed? In the U.S.?
Michigan.
Interesting.
Really? The car state. Not for long, because if Tesla continues to go like it's going, California will be the car state.
Well, we're going to need factories. They got a lot of factories in
That's
Michigan.
True. And this guy's going to prison for 7 years, so it'll probably be 7 years before California becomes the car state. But he's been slapped with a £298,000 fine.
Also $400,000.
And he admitted that he helped the firm to evade clean air laws.
Yowza.
In fact, all of his fine and prison time had been reduced simply because they negotiated for him to plead guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been a lot worse if he didn't plead guilty and was found guilty.
Do you think this is one of those situations where the upper, and I, you know, this is very conspiracy theorist, right? Where this guy took the fall for the rest of the Volkswagen executives and they're like, look, buddy, go to jail for 7 years. We'll take care of you when you get out. Well, we'll take care of your family
you're
while you're
like
in.
The mafia.
Yeah. We'll take care of your family while you're in, so you don't have to worry
we'll
about
make
any
sure
of that
you get stuff. Plenty of truffle
exactly.
And beluga while you in the while you're in the pen.
That was like Norwegian, by the way.
Well, you know, German will take care of you.
It's not.
I'm not
your
going
German
there.
Is not good.
Okay.
Not, you're not. It's not good.
Nix that. I made bad decisions, and for that I am sorry, he said on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But he is one of 8 current or former VW officials that have been charged. Another guy, James Liang, is an engineer. He was charged in August to more than 3 years. So what you know, this is all a sad story. From start to finish, to me, it's all a sad story. Here are some like very smart, very capable people. Engineer, executive, whatever,
mm-hmm.
that could have been pushing for electric vehicle adoption, that could have been doing things that were really positive, and
yeah.
instead they were, you know, taken by the dark side for whatever reason, and now VW
mm-hmm.
is paying, you know, on the order of $30 billion for this whole fiasco. You know, why didn't they just do the right thing in the first place?
Big price to pay. I don't know, because they probably did some cost-benefit analysis. My guess is whoever did that number has since been fired.
Yeah.
So we have something else to deal with. Hey, Google, what's Tesla's stock price today?
Tesla's stock is trading at $324.53 per share on NASDAQ as of 11:43 a.m. Eastern Standard Time today, up 2.98% from last Friday.
It's a pretty nice little bump.
Pretty sweet.
Probably getting word out there that the threes are coming.
That and, you know, I don't know. It's interesting that the stock market doesn't quite react as quickly as I would think. With all those fast micro traders and stuff, you would think that the semi event and the Roadster might have bumped the stock a bit.
It did a little bit. I feel like it's sort of buy on the speculation, sort of sit tight on the news when it comes to Tesla, right? You get these run-ups prior to the event, and then when they see it, then you get a little bump, and then people start realizing, oh, there wasn't a whole lot of detail there, so let's hold back a little bit. So,
or they have their BS meters on for some of the stuff that Elon says.
So this next article is from Reuters.
I thought this was interesting because it talked about the global investment market. It was more European-based,
uh-huh.
but I expect that it's sort of throughout. And it talks about investors. The title of the article is Investors Wean Themselves Off Oil as Electric Future Beckons.
Beckons.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love seeing these articles that are in widely dispersed media, news media,
mm-hmm.
and that really show everyone that electric vehicles are the way forward.
They are.
And this one talks about investors taking another, quote, another look at the long-term future of energy companies focused on fossil fuels, that they've investors have been pulling money out of exchange-traded funds that are very gas and fuel-oriented, that the world's largest sovereign wealth fund, worth over $1 trillion, is facing a proposal to ditch its oil and gas shares. That's huge.
You know what percentage of oil and gas shares are in that fund by any chance?
Yeah, I think it's like in the 7% range. It might actually be higher.
Yeah.
But it turns out oil and gas funds pay like the biggest dividends on the European Stock Exchange, something around 6%, whereas the next best runner-up would be like Nokia at 4.2%. And I didn't realize Nokia was actually still around.
They're still there, Robert. They're still.
Ever since The Matrix, you know, then I wanted a Nokia phone, but now it's like, what?
You can get one, buddy.
Yeah, so it sounds really great. They expect that battery demand, this is like an aside in the article, battery demand will grow by 20x in the next 7 years.
Yeah, and it's going to be in transportation, as we talk about ad nauseum. It's going to be in storage, as we also talk about ad nauseum. So batteries are going to be needed in a lot of places.
Like the post office.
The post office needs batteries. Why?
Yeah, because the post office has 215,000 mail trucks in operation.
The U.S. Post Office.
Exactly. I was just thinking, you know, the Royal Post, the Post
Canadian
in India.
Post,
yeah, you know, yeah. So there's a lot of post offices out there. Okay. I realize that. But hey, if the United States Postal Service can serve as an example, I'm so excited. So 215,000 trucks, 140,000 of these trucks are more than 20 years old.
I'm more than 20 years old. I'm going strong.
Yeah, but they pollute an increasing amount as time goes on.
I pollute in a very static amount.
Well, you probably pollute even less because you're more fine-tuned. You're not, you know, throwing your cans out the side of the window, onto the road.
I didn't know we were talking about that kind of overall pollution.
So the U.S. Postal Service put out a bid to get vehicle manufacturers to offer up trucks, and they're expecting to buy thousands of trucks. They put the specs down. They have to carry 1,500 pounds of mail and so many cubic feet. And in October, they started real-world testing of a group of five manufacturers. They've whittled this down. American General, Carsan, Mahindra, which is an Indian company, Oshkosh, and wait for it, Workhorse.
Oh, I waited for it. That was exciting.
We covered Workhorse.
We did.
Yeah, the W15, I think, is their electric pickup truck that looks really cool. It's actually a hybrid.
Yeah.
And I remember, just for those of you who are EV purists, that Workhorse said they didn't have the money to complete their R&D to make a fully electric truck. That's why they went with a range-extending generator, much like the Volt.
Yes.
But they were included. They're the only truck. Workhorse presents the only truck that has a plug. So this is possibly going to be a conversion by the U.S. Postal Service to electrically powered vehicles.
Oh, so this wasn't net. This was confusing because at the very beginning of this article, it made it seem like the U.S. Postal Service was looking to replace their fleet with an electric truck, but they're just looking to replace their fleet, period.
Correct.
The rest of these vehicles are just standard old gas trucks. They're looking for a good vehicle. A
couple of them are hybrids,
right,
but not with a plug.
Interesting. So, but none of them, they're not looking at any of these being full electric. So that's kind of problematic in some ways, because if you think about the Postal Service and having a 20-year-old fleet and their new fleet is not going to be fully electric, and maybe if, unless the W5, you know, the Workhorse is the winner of this, won't be really plug-in electric at all. We could be looking at a huge $6 billion investment by the Postal Service on
gasoline-powered trucks.
That's not cool.
Yeah. It could be a big win or a big letdown.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wonder, can we influence this choice?
Well, I think they should not be using any of these. I think they should be looking to work with somebody who could potentially make one all electric, even if it's Workhorse.
Yeah.
And they can change because of a potential investment by the post office. I think the post office needs to think a little bit more forward and long term, because again, if they're going to spend $6 billion and they're going to continue to maintain and they're going to continue to buy gas, that's going to be, in the long run, for taxpayers, me and you, and for people who use the post office to mail things,
yes,
more expensive, going to have the tendency to make them less competitive
less
than
competitive.
UPS, FedEx, DHL. And
absolutely,
we know the post office sort of has a mandate to be revenue neutral,
yes,
in the long run. And we know that first class postage has been going up. I don't like this at all.
Yeah. Maybe we should all write letters to the post office.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting twist.
Yeah, I mean,
to buy the workhorse electric postal truck.
Right. I mean, their fleet's already 20 years old. What kind of hurry are they in?
Yeah. 180,000 trucks they're going to buy over the next 7 years for $6.3 billion. That is big.
That's a lot. I mean, that's 180,000 trucks that could potentially give a startup a nice boost,
mm-hmm,
in R&D money and sales and stuff like that. If they can, if Workhorse got it, they could potentially, midway through that contract, convert to all electric potentially, mm-hmm, or increase the value or be
able
to.
Well, if you think about it, in urban settings, I'm sure that a vast majority, 80%+ of the mail is delivered in urban settings. Those trucks travel like less than 20 miles.
True. Yeah, and a lot of it's at slow power with a lot of stopping. A
lot of stopping, all made much more efficient by an electric with regen potential. And so I'm just excited for the potential to get less gasoline-burning, exhaust-emitting vehicles out of the city.
Yeah.
And if you live in London, guess what?
What a segue.
London black cabs get an all-new electric revamp.
Of course they do.
Now, we talked about this some time ago, but it was kind of a 2020 type of article.
What?
But here we are. It is happening. They came out with a couple of articles. This one is from The Independent, a UK publication. They say that London black cabs will, or the cabbies, can save over £100 a week on fuel cost using this new all-electric London cab. It's an updated cab. It comes with Wi-Fi. That would be sweet. I would definitely want one of those,
mm-hmm,
if I'm stuck in like a 30-minute cab commute.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out the laptop, get some stuff done for talking Tesla. It comes with USB charging, mm-hmm, a sunroof.
Wow.
That's kind of bold, since in London, there isn't a lot of sun.
It's a cloud
roof. It's a cloud roof, exactly. A mist roof. You want to feel the mist on your face. And they are six-seaters. They come with a CCS charging plug. They do include a range extender for up to 400 miles.
In case you have 6 or 7 trips to Heathrow in a day or something like that.
Yeah, or somebody says, oh, take me to Birmingham.
Wow.
I didn't. It was okay. Wasn't that okay?
It was better.
All right, good.
Better.
They're 55,000 pounds.
Not in weight.
I knew that was coming. That's like $74,000, which sounds like a ton of money.
It's a lot of money for a cab, but you know, you're making money in a cab, so maybe it isn't.
So they interviewed a cabbie, Pat Fallon, and this is what he said. It's not a step up. It's 1,000 steps up.
It's Scottish, apparently.
It's a different world. He also said, all you can really hear is the tires on the tarmac and the wind.
Ooh. Wow. That's
so impressive. If you're in it, so you know what the moral of the story is?
The moral of the story is that people are now longing for Mel's accents to come back.
No, I was going to say that if you're in one of these electric cabs, don't break wind, because that's all they're going to hear.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know who put in this article about the 2018 Chevrolet Bolt. I thought it was you, and then I read the article and I went, oh.
No, it wasn't me.
Ah, that was me. I remember putting this in. So the new 2018 Chevy Bolt is here.
It is, the new model.
It
and
is.
What did they change, Robert?
That's right. You may find that the heated steering wheel now turns itself on and off.
Wow, that's super helpful.
Oh, wait. They deleted the map pocket behind the passenger's seat.
That's the only one you need.
Damn.
Because that's the one you can reach for as a driver. Although, let's be completely honest. Calling it a map pocket in this day of GPS and phone maps and Google Maps and Waze and how many myriad of ways you can get around electronically.
Right.
let's call it the tissue pocket, because that's where I keep my tissues when I need to blow my nose.
Okay, that was a waste of 90 seconds. Next.
So the next one is super important.
Yes.
It comes from Denver, the denverpost.com. The orders for Tesla semis keep rolling, rolling, rolling. And this time, this week, Anheuser-Busch ordered 40. So
40?
Soon enough, your Bud Light and your Bud and your Stella Artois, because I don't know if you people knew this, but the people who own Budweiser own Stella Artois, which is why you can now buy Stella literally everywhere in the world. Also, Cisco bought 50 more.
Yeah,
Anheuser-Busch total has 750 U.S. trucks in its fleet, which I actually thought was pretty low.
Yeah.
For a company that brews beer in like 6 or 7 cities in the States. But there you have it.
We're not too far from the Anheuser brewery here, so we see a lot of those trucks.
Yeah, every once in a while you can smell the hops hopping, as it were. And then, so this will help the Belgium-based company, Anheuser-Busch's parent, meet its goal of reducing global carbon emissions by 30% in 2025. And this continues to be a thing. The Tesla semi vehicle program continues to be a thing that's gaining traction. Walmart, Meijer, J.B. Hunt, Busch now, Cisco, DHL, they've all ordered cars for their test fleets. If these cars are able to, these trucks are delivered in the way, in a speedy fashion, and they work the way they said, and the mega charger is all part of this thing, this is going to be pretty game-changing, I think, for Tesla in a lot of ways.
All right, so I'm ready to make a bet.
Oh, yes!
I'm going to get my dollar.
More money for me, because you always lose these bets. This is the best.
All right, I'm getting a dollar out.
Dollar.
Oh, damn, I only have a 5.
You're a doctor, for God's sakes. Let's make it more.
All right, let's make it a 5.
All right, I don't have a 5, but
I have a Lincoln in front of me.
5 for you, 3 for me. There you go.
I have a Lincoln in front of me that says
okay.
The first ad by one of these companies, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, UPS, FedEx, who
Pepsi.
Knows?
Pepsi, I left Pepsi out.
The first ad by one of these companies that features their name emblazoned on an electric Tesla semi.
An ad, like an actual ad for Pepsi.
Correct.
For the brand.
Yes.
Okay.
With a name blazoned on the truck. I say will come before June of 2018.
Oh my goodness. How are we supposed to keep track of this? How are they going to do that?
Well, it's all just airbrushed and artwork and it's done on, you
know. June of 2018. We're sitting, about 6-7 months
from
now.
In 6 months, yeah.
I'll take that bet. I think it's going to be over.
You think it's going to be over?
Over.
So if anyone out there in Talking Tesla Nation sees a semi, Tesla semi, in an ad.
And that means sees. That doesn't mean make one of their own. It has to come from one of these companies. So don't go out there airbrushing your own thing and giving Robert $5.
Well, I don't know. That might be news. As it is, we could tweet that out and get a few hits. Maybe that's worth $5 or $10.
How dare you try to game the system?
So I just wanted to throw in here, after all of this buzz about Tesla and the Semi Go, this is just to the core, right to the core, the quick of the Tesla mission statement, which Elon has talked about and periodically chides us for not recalling.
Not us.
Well, all of us in Tesla, Talking Tesla Nation, chides us for not looking back and recalling what it is he actually said. And that is, quote, to accelerate the advent of sustainable transport by bringing compelling mass market electric cars to market as soon as possible.
Boom.
Cars, vehicles, I'm fine with that. Though, I noted when I went back and looked this up that he changed in 2016 this motto to say to accelerate the advent of sustainable energy.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's one to beget the other.
Right. So I had a bit of a housekeeping bit here under electric vehicles, and that was Mel, in his YouTube video, when he got to configure his Model 3.
It's okay, Robert. We're going to get through this together, buddy.
He said that he was going to enjoy the California $2,500 rebate for electric vehicles.
Uh-huh.
And I just cringed at that moment because I don't know what Mel's bottom line is, what his income is, but I'm concerned that we would send the wrong information out there. And so I wanted to throw this article back in that was from Jalopnik, and this was from June of 2015, or actually maybe a little earlier, but it said that the California Electric Vehicle Rebate Program has changed. They're trying to use the money for people who earn the middle range of income versus all of it going to people who are in the high income brackets. They wanted to try and reorient the money flow. And in fact, if you make less than 300% of the federal poverty level, which if you're an individual making less than $35,310 or a family of three earning less than $60,270, these are difficult numbers to remember. So I throw them in.
$35,000 or $60,000, just around.
So in that case, you buy a battery electric vehicle, you actually get $4,000.
From California.
From California. Or if you have a plug-in electric vehicle, you get $3,000. Mm-hmm. But if you make above that level, you drop down to the standard $2,500 rebate for battery and $1,500 for plug-in electric
and
hybrids.
If you get into the MEL level.
If you get above $250,000 individual or $500,000 joint, you get no rebate for battery or hybrid, plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. But throughout, people get rebates for fuel cell vehicles.
California really wanted the fuel cell thing to take off, man.
Bullshit! Sorry, I had a sneeze on that one. You know, I don't have a problem promoting EV adoption, especially among people who don't make, you know, mega dollars. But damn, it feels like this program just got hijacked by Toyota and Honda.
Well, I mean, you know, but those cars are not having a lot of success. So,
yes,
you can't hijack a program unless you make a compelling argument for it. And I don't even think the $5,000 is compelling enough, to be completely frank with you. But we skipped over an article from The Drive, and this is about electric buses, electric trucks, how this is rolling, right? This trend is rolling. And so what you said about Elon's quote earlier about, right, like the expansion of mass market electric cars to accelerate the advent of sustainable energy. Now you have all of these huge companies with like trucks, people buying trucks. And I do wonder if when we started this show,
yes,
all of this seemed like such a pipe dream, right? Like this really, like we were excited about it.
We were out there.
We were way out there.
Yeah.
And not just us, but a lot of people who believed that this was going to happen. This has exceeded our, I even believe, our wildest dreams on its speed and pace of that it's happening, right? Because, you know, in 2015, when we started doing this show, we were like, oh, it would be great if there was electric trucks. Wouldn't it be great if there was this? Wouldn't it be great if there were the fastest car? Wouldn't it be great if this mass market car? And now we're here. Like, the mass market car is coming. Although, again, the Model 3 early production, $60,000. There's been a lot of pushback. Let's go back for even a little bit of a second, because I hate to digress a little bit. But like the Model 3, does it really, in its $35,000 form factor, is that the car people expect out of Tesla? Is this the Model 3 people want? So if you buy a Model 3 and you wait and you get the $35,000 version that has no enhanced self-driving capability, doesn't have any self-driving capability, doesn't have enhanced autopilot, doesn't have premium seats.
White,
it's very
black.
Bare bones. It's black.
Aero wheels.
It has aero wheels, which is fine. I mean,
Cloth interior.
Let's not look at it from an aesthetics point of view, but just from a pure technology point of view.
Right.
Is that the car people expected from a mass market Tesla? It probably isn't, but that's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
But we're still getting there regardless.
And I know we are digressing, but if you look at the projected cost of the 2170 cells, the lithium-ion batteries that are going to go into the semi, the projected expectation of the drop in cost of those batteries may actually speak towards a model beyond a Model Y, or maybe the Model Y, being another $10,000 cheaper.
Yeah.
So what is out there? I don't know, but we are continuing to be impressed, and I don't expect us to be disappointed at the progression that is moving forward. That's why I say California, within 7 years, will be the car manufacturing state, not Michigan.
Interesting. That would be interesting. Okay, so the next article comes from Electric, and this is about politics, and it's not about the politics that you think it's going to be about. It's about some other kind of politics, Robert.
Right. It's about Tesla versus various state dealer organizations. The state dealer organizations are the ones that promote and or protect the right for car companies, for dealers to buy cars from car companies and be the middle person between the two. And Tesla has blown that out of the water ever since the Roadster went on sale. Mm-hmm. They were sold online. Teslas are sold online. Even if you go into a Tesla store, when it's time for you to buy, they show you a computer and you go online. Mm. So Teslas are all bought online, and the dealer associations have feared this. They've hated this. They want this to go away. And there have been many, many fights in the courts between Tesla and various dealer organizations. And this is about the Missouri Automobile Dealer Association. Their case, Tesla versus MATA, that's their acronym.
TV MATA.
MATA. They went all the way to the appellate court in Missouri, and the court found in favor of Tesla. Boom! Tesla is able to sell again and service cars in Missouri. They have two stores and a service center. That's awesome. Although the president of the MATA Association, Doug Smith, said that they're still looking at options to block Tesla.
Thanks, Doug. It's not going to work, Doug. If you can't beat us, you can't.
Join us.
That's kind of how it works. And next on the agenda today is everyone's favorite segment.
Superchargers are on their way up.
Is there another update, Robert? It looks like this list gets larger and larger each week.
We have been fluctuating a fair amount lately.
Yeah.
And I think last show or maybe one or two shows ago, I said that we're entering a period at the end of the year where people are like in the holiday spirit. Maybe they're not getting as much construction done. Mm-hmm. I know that's sort of the case when it comes to building buildings. Mm-hmm. But in Tesla land, that doesn't seem to be the case. Of course, Elon is trying to meet, or Tesla and the team at the Supercharger group are trying to meet year-end goals of increasing the fleet as much as Elon has said. So, new open Superchargers, 9.
Wow.
4 in China, and then a smattering. Sweden, Canada, Norway, Czech Republic, and 1 in the United States.
Woohoo!
Under construction, 5 new Tesla Superchargers under construction, 3 in the United States, Spain, and Canada. And I was noting that the Framingham 10-stall Supercharger, which has gone into construction, is very close to the White House.
Oh.
Framingham, Massachusetts.
Oh, wait. The White House?
The White House of the Tesla Black Caucus. President
talking
White House.
Tesla Black Caucus. Not just the Tesla Black Caucus.
No, no, no. The talking Tesla
very
Black
specific.
Caucus. Yes. Very near the White House. Mm. Good on you, Joel. Just don't become one of those Metro Chargers that Tom constantly rags on.
He will. You all will.
Permitting. We got 7 new permits.
Uh-huh.
6 in the United States and 1 in Hungary, which includes 3 interesting superchargers. 1, San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
Beautiful town here in the mid-coast of California.
Yeah.
And they're putting it at the famed Madonna Inn.
That's a big pink hotel, correct?
It is a great pink hotel. In fact, they're putting the supercharger station in the area where they have a many years shuttered gasoline station.
Oh, that's cute.
There's also a supercharger going in Boulder, Colorado, which a year ago, I would have enjoyed using.
That would have been nice.
But this one's going to be at the 29th Street Mall, probably next to Trader Joe's. Mm. And then there's the next, I can't call it mega.
You can't, no.
Now, what are we calling the superchargers that have 40 stalls?
Supercharger Plus.
Supercharger Plus. So this is in Augusta, Washington, which is in Georgia. It's between Atlanta and the coast. And there's already a supercharger in this area, but it's been plagued with a lot of icing. Not like ice from cold weather, but like icing from people with non-electric cars parking mm-hmm. there willy-nilly. In fact, there are reports on Reddit and the TMC that people are like driving and they get there and there's like one slot that is not iced in an 8-stall supercharger. And they're like, dude, I can't plan trips this way. Yeah. This is crazy. And so,
plus they don't show up, right, as being in use because they're not actually plugged in, although maybe Tesla needs to kind of figure that out.
Wah, wah, wah. And then there's tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is
SpaceX
Tuesday.
Tomorrow.
So December 12th.
Yes. At 8:45 a.m., unfortunately, this show will have already been... It will not have been released.
Not unless we're going to do a 24-hour marathon recording session right now.
Yeah, no. No, and live stream. No, but tomorrow, which is yesterday, or earlier today, if you listen to the show on Tuesdays, at 8:45 California time, they're relaunching a Falcon 9 and, for the first time, relaunching a Dragon capsule to supply the space station.
So this is a Dragon capsule that's come back.
Yes.
Been refurbished.
Yes.
Been refilled.
Yes.
With pizzas and ice cream and toilet paper, whatever else they need up there in the space station.
They cleaned out all the poopy from the last trip.
They took the garbage out,
yes.
right? They put it in the dump, wherever they did. So it's a reused Dragon capsule, a reused Falcon 9 Stage 1.
Yes.
Not a reused fairing, because I haven't figured that out yet.
Well, this doesn't need a fairing, because it's a Dragon. But they're not reusing Stage 2.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Spaceman. Wow.
No, Spaceman's the dude in North Korea.
There's no fairing over the capsule?
No.
Oh.
It's all by itself.
Look at you.
And so this launch was originally slated for September, then November, then early December, and now it's going to go up. And we're going on a field trip, aren't we?
We're
going
to give that a shot.
Yeah.
We are going to. On Saturday, December 23rd at 5:26 p.m. from Vandenberg, the Iridium 4 payload of 10 satellites is going up. So this is the fourth of a bunch.
Yeah, this is the four, I think they have five payloads of satellites that are going up. So this is next to the last.
Yeah.
So this means that the Iridium Sat phone or the Iridium Sat data hub that Mel was going to buy will work even better.
Yeah.
I wonder if he bought it.
I don't know. We should ask him. But so we're going to try to get up there 5:26 p.m. December 23rd. We're supposed to record that morning. And then we'll pop up there.
Yes. So my word is this. If you like Talking Tesla, you're a Talking Tesla Nation member.
And if you're listening to the show,
and
you
want to join us, email us info@talkingtesla.net.
Wow. Look at you.
And let's put together a party. And I know where is a good place to go because there's parking and there's open space to see. And that is where we'll tell you to meet us.
Not now.
Not now. No,
why?
You email us.
Oh, if you email us,
we'll work
tell you.
It out.
Wow, it's like a cliffhanger. Why don't we want to tell them over the air?
Because I want to hear from them.
Okay. What about via the Twitter? Can they ask via Twitter?
I guess.
Yeah, whatever. Just email us.
So, Hyperloop and Boring.
I ordered a Boring hat.
Yes.
Because you know why? Because
I have one.
Well, that's not the only reason. Oh, because, like, he was saying every 500th hat. Was going to get like
every 5,000th hat was going to be signed by the delivery guy.
Right. And then I looked, if they're doing it by order number, it's not working out for me.
But,
if they're not doing it by order number, I'm still potentially wide open. And he said they were possibly being delivered in the tunnel. Like he made some weird kind of statements about some awesomeness.
Well, here's a little awesomeness that I received.
Oh.
This was an email that I received on Wednesday. From Culver City. Mm-hmm. I'm on the Culver City email because I want to know what's going on in town. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on at the city hall, you know, the parks and the trash and this and that. And this said, presentation, proposed transportation tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And my ears went, what? Ding, ding. So Monday, January 22nd at 7 p.m. This I am going to give out right here and now.
Wow.
Monday, January 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Culver City Courthouse, which is at 9770 Culver Boulevard in Culver City. They are going to have a meeting where the Boring Company is going to present their plan for boring under Culver City. And they will take questions, they will look for comments, and the city council is actually looking to see, huh, this is kind of interesting. Should we allow this to occur? And what do you think, Tom?
Do I think we should allow it to occur? Yes, we should allow
it to
occur.
Bet your bippy. So I'm inviting...
I don't even have a bippy to bet.
I once had a bippy, but that's another topic, and we're getting long in the tooth on this show. So I'm inviting all of Talking Tesla Nation in the L.A., Southern California area to come on up to Culver City.
Yeah.
There's some great places to eat. In fact, you can drop me a message on Twitter or email us info@talkingtesla.net. And I'll tell you some great restaurants like within just a block of the Culver City City Hall. Of course, you can charge up at the Culver City Supercharger. And then you can kind of peruse the Culver City to see where might that entry point to the boring tunnel be.
Where is
it? I don't know. I've been sort of speculating. And in fact, we can throw this in the show notes that there is a map that they released to the city of Los Angeles because they're also applying to the city of Los Angeles for extended tunnels. And this map blew my mind.
This map made me excited only because they did not leave the San Fernando Valley out, which I was fully expecting to happen.
Isn't that sweet? So this goes from the Long Beach Airport in the south with stops at Carson, Torrance, Lawndale, Inglewood, Culver City, UCLA, the Getty Museum, and Sherman Oaks. These are just the exit points along the main artery. And then there's all of these side arteries, I should say. What are they called? They call them spurs.
Spurs.
Spurs to UCLA, Santa Monica, Dodger Stadium, Union Station, the Staples Center, USC, LA Stadium, Hawthorne, South Bay. Unbelievable. LAX. I shouldn't leave LAX out. And so the plan that, and I've not even gone to the show notes here yet, but the plan is that this be a public access tunnel. And I thought to myself, what? So I had to parse this out. I took some time. It looks as if they're going to use the pods, which we've all seen in the video of the Boring Company. You can go to the Boring Company website, which is part of SpaceX, and see it. And it's like this glass enclosed four-wheeled pod. It holds something like between 8 and 16 passengers. That's the public version. So you can get in and out of a pod, go through the boring tunnel, and get out. It's actually now called the Loop, which is considered an electric vehicle traffic tunnel. So there will be no ICE cars in there. But if you own a Tesla, I suspect your Tesla will get to go in the Boring Company loop. Yes.
You think?
Well, they showed Teslas going in it.
But have to sit on a sled.
Correct.
You won't be driving it.
You will not
Get moving around.
You just better buckle up because that sled's going fast, baby.
Fascinating.
They talked about the at the exit points having side loops so that they never have to stop the flow in the main artery. This obviously, as Elon has said, could have many tunnels in a particular route so that it's not dependent on, you know, any kind of, I guess it can just continue to bore if there's any buildup of traffic.
It's impressive. And phase one is a privately funded tunnel that's 6.5 miles long, connecting Santa Monica, Playa del Rey, Marina del Rey, Playa Vista, and Culver City, all places I don't currently live.
Yeah, well,
but
again,
that's cool anyways.
I'm right in the center of it, which is really exciting.
Well,
more to be revealed.
Yeah, very exciting.
They've also got, of course, the other boring projects in Baltimore, between Baltimore and D.C., and Chicago and O'Hare Airport. We'll follow up and see
how
those go, too.
So he is just moving forward on all modes of transportation.
He's firing on all cylinders.
He's firing on no cylinders, actually. The only cylinders are in the rockets.
Right, and they're just
firing.
I got no, I got no.
You got nothing.
I got no retort for that one.
So he's got the space travel.
Right.
He's got the above ground electric travel. He's got the carry a lot of big stuff above ground travel. And now he's working on the underground travel. Pretty impressive.
Really. And that, of course, will feed the Mars project because you'll want to bore under Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So getting down to the potpourri, I threw this in since it is holiday season.
Hello, holidays.
And I thought, my God, there's all these gifts
mm-hmm.
that are available for the people who have everything. So for the coffee lover.
People like you.
Who has everything. No, I don't have everything. Uh-huh. I have a lot, and I am not complaining. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think about you, Tom, and your obsession for Java.
It is pretty obsessive.
It is very obsessive. And then I thought, every time I make a cup of coffee at home,
mm-hmm.
unless I'm really dying to have all, you know, 10 or 12 ounces of it,
uh-huh.
it kind of sits there and mm-hmm. it gets cold. And then it forms this kind of film on the top because the cream kind of rises and it turns into iced coffee. So I tell myself, hey, if I went to Pete's or Blue Bottle and I got myself an iced coffee, I'd pay like $4 for
an iced
coffee.
Although it's a very different situation there because they're doing a cold brew. It's a different process, Robert. Come on.
Yeah, I'm trying to psych myself
I know you are.
To enjoying that last third of the coffee that I painstakingly created.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw this.
Okay.
The I can't stop drinking coffee out of this temperature regulating mug article on Wired.com.
And just so you know, because there's been a lot of talk lately about people getting paid
yes.
to make statements about things in their shows and their blogs. Like, we're not getting paid by any of the things that we mention in
this
show.
Yeah, we ask people for free shit and we get nothing. Although Andy from Arizona did send us this shirt that I'm wearing.
Yeah, no, we get lovely things, but what we want to make sure that people know is that when we talk about products, it is not because we have been paid for product placement in any way, shape, or form. And if we were to receive items, we would let you know. We would disclose all of that ahead of time.
We win the award for the unfunded, ungifted podcast media
That's
show.
Right. We're only funded by you and your dreams.
Oh,
I know, right?
That's sweet. Yeah, thank you, Patreons. So this mug looks really cool. It's ceramic.
Uh-huh.
It looks like a real mug.
Okay.
The only thing that gives it away is on the base, it has a little LED light to tell you, I guess, if it needs a charge or not. But it keeps 10 ounces of coffee at any temperature you want.
What?
You use your cell phone.
It's heated?
There's an app in your cell phone, and you can adjust by degree the temperature that you want the item in the mug. It will cool it. It will heat it. And it's $80, so it's kind of expensive, but of course...
Can you wash it in the dishwasher?
I don't know about dishwasher, but you can wash it. It has batteries in it. It's all been, like, unbelievably engineered. And what caught me in the article mm-hmm. is he says, the guy who designed it, that it's like Tesla. We didn't have to reinvent the wheel, figuratively or literally. We just embedded technology into a form people understand.
But, I mean, I appreciate it. But, like, what if you just bought, like, a cup that had a lid on it that kept your coffee warm?
For hours?
Long enough.
Well, okay. I guess it depends on your coffee drinking habits.
$80?
$80.
So I get it. Save the coffee. $80, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it is the holiday season. Maybe Santa will put one in our stockings.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
All right, let's get to
letters.
We need
one with a Tesla logo on it.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't think the people at Ember would like that very much. All right. So the first letter comes from Gabor Leidenfrost. And I wanted to start with this letter because I feel like it's more like an article. I cannot tell you how interesting this was.
Yeah.
So this is from the cityofsacramento.org. And this is basically their EV strategy. And this is the final draft of the strategy that they're going to put into place.
It's like 70 pages
in
long.
Sacramento. So it's called the Electrify America Green City Initiative. And just full disclosure, this is a partnership with the Volkswagen subsidiary Electrify America, which I believe arose from the ashes of the diesel scandal.
Exactly. In fact, Sacramento was the first town mm-hmm. or city that they are spending some of these billions of dollars at.
Right. And so this is going to, so for the city of Sacramento, the average cost for their city fleet operations and maintenance and everything, for their sedans, they pay 60 0.62 cents per mile per vehicle with a $17,000 annually per vehicle.
Right. And that's gas.
And that's for the gas. For EV sedans, they basically cut that in half.
Right.
More than $6,500. And $6,500 annually per EV historically in the fleet, which is a 66% reduction from gasoline vehicles. So they have noticed just monetarily switching from gas to EV is saving them a lot of money in the long run.
Yeah, this is really great because it codifies, it makes very obvious that electric vehicles make economic sense.
Right.
And they do so for a wide variety of transportation modes, including right. things like taxis, we've seen and talked about, dump trucks, trash trucks, buses. This is just more ammunition right. to complete and further EV adoption.
Right. So I encourage you all to go out there and find this PDF and download it and read it and see what the city of Sacramento is going to do. One aspect of this program is a thing called car share, which I think is amazing, right?
Yeah. Cool
it is
idea.
Going to be the state of California's first low income, zero emission vehicle car sharing program, like a Zipcar kind of a situation.
Right.
But all EVs. It's in fact operated by Zipcar. There are 300 free memberships available to residents of three Sacramento affordable housing developments, the mm-hmm. Alder Grove, the Edgewater, and Mutual Housing on Lemon Hill. The residents at these locations, many of them don't own vehicles, and personal transportation for them can be a challenge. With this program, these residents of these three areas now have up to 9 free hours a week to use the all-electric Kia Soul, which we've talked about on this show. It's a great vehicle. Mutual Housing is also developing a chauffeuring operation for the program to increase ridership for those residents of that housing development that cannot drive or don't drive or have never driven a car. So that is amazing. And I think we'll move even farther towards getting this electrification situation going in Sacramento. So initially, Electrify America's investment in Sacramento will be focused on the following activities. Construction and operation of a network of level 2 chargers, DC fast chargers, and high-powered chargers with a minimum of 75 chargers to be installed by mid-2019. So that's a fair amount of chargers in a city the size of Sacramento that will be, you know, public, probably. What we spoke about earlier is that they're going to be allowed to charge for and make a profit off of them, but they're still going to be out there. The launch of this EV car share program, the evaluation of opportunities for zero emission delivery fleets and e-taxis, right? All part of this process. Again, Volkswagen is a big company. They can make a lot of different vehicles, and they do. Expanding access to zero emission vehicle technologies for disadvantaged and low income communities. This is a model of how this could be done, in my opinion.
And if you're active in any of your local governments, municipalities, and you're fired up and excited, you could use this as a template or a guide or ammunition to try and bring your municipality online to adopting EVs and making EV use much more user-friendly.
And you have data about cost savings, you have data about usage, and you have population data, right? You have how many people live in the city of Sacramento, how many people live in each one of these housing developments, and you can adjust the size of your program accordingly. So very exciting. Again, a lot of information in this thing. So go to thecityofsacramento.org, find the final draft of their EV strategy. We'll put the link in the show notes. Gabor, thank you so much for sharing this with us. Very, very cool.
And so now we've got an email from Frank Stevic.
Stevic.
Thanks, Frank. Great points all about the Tesla truck and the seating. Tells us he enjoys the show. He's been listening for a long time. He talks about the center seating of the truck and I think this is wonderful.
Oh, my. I don't, like, obviously none of us are the smart one, and it's really Frank, because he mentions that the reason, one of the great bonuses of the center seat in the semi-truck is that you don't have to build a left and right driving version.
Duh.
Hello.
And you only have to have one assembly line. You don't have to reprogram robots or get different kind of parts or floor plan or, I mean, like a floorboard to bolt the seats in different places. It's mm-hmm. like, just put it in the middle, dude.
Yeah. Frank is the smart one. And that is a longtime listener, first time letter writer. Very nicely done.
Yeah. In fact, there are trucks out there on the road. There's a company here that does, I'm not sure if it's pumping trucks or, yeah, I think it's pumping trucks and also carrying big pipe trucks where the driver is in one seat. There are no two seats. And so this is not an unusual thought. It's just that we didn't think about it.
The next letter comes from Steve Thane, and he last got in touch with us with his hunch that the semi-event surprise would be an RV.
Oh, wouldn't that have been cool?
Would it have been, let me ask you this, would it have been cooler than what it was?
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
But I want everything.
Would you have stood in line for $5,000 to drive the RV?
In the Tesla Bago?
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
No, but I would have wanted to take the Tesla Bago camping.
Yeah, that would have been cool. So I probably actually would have spent the $5,000 to drive the Tesla Bago that night. But a lot of people have been asking, let's digress for one quick second. A lot of people have been asking on the Twitter, did you get your $5,000 back?
No.
Interesting.
I'm waiting to see what happens.
Did you send the $45,000?
No.
Well, then it's over. Like, they can't, don't they technically cancel your reservation?
They didn't send me an email that they've canceled that reservation or that I can make another. But I have had long discussions with other members of Tesla clubs because it turns out the North Texas club has gotten together, I believe it's 10 folks who are each going to put in money to buy one Roadster that they are going to share.
Do you think the Tesla Club LA is going to do the same thing?
The Club LA is not, but there are still ongoing discussions. I know Steven Peters is doing everything he can to figure out how he's going to end up with the Tesla Roadster in Belgium.
Uh-huh. He's trying to get his
referrals. So I'm keeping my options open.
Uh-huh.
It's not like I'm going to make... Honestly, if I would have bought $5,000 in Tesla shares when I put that money down today, I would be 15% ahead.
Uh-huh.
Jeez.
And if you would have bought $5,000 worth of Bitcoin at the beginning of the year, you
would
have been
be
able
like
to pay for all of
ahead.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Don't. Why do you do that, man? And they opened up futures on Bitcoin and it didn't really go down.
So let's continue with the letter from Steve. So he said not to let one failure put him off. He has another hunch. So he wasn't good enough for him to fail on the RV thing. He comes up with another thought process. He thinks when the U.S. tax incentive ends for Teslas, the Tesla may reduce the cost of the Model 3 by $7,500. And he thinks that the Semi and Roadster 2 prices suggest that is possible,
right,
as did you a little earlier when we talked about battery pricing. So
true that.
The other thing that keeps coming up time and time again is what people keep asking on the Twitter, what's the thing that day one reservation holders were supposed to get, or people in line, the special thing? Now, I think it was the drawing.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
We got a small version of the Model 3 design drawings by Franz von Holzhausen.
Right.
Sorry, Franz, I mispronounced your name last week.
Mm.
So I
we can put that to rest.
Was.
We
yeah.
can put that to rest. But that wasn't only for people who were in line. That was just any first day reservation holders.
True. Although it would be nice, let's just say, that the people who did get up early in the morning and stand in line get something like, you know, the opportunity to configure.
Yeah, you might want to let that go.
Yeah. Oh, the president. I didn't realize. Here we have a letter from the president.
Dun, 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 dun,
autopilot
dun,
and broken dun, dun. Promises.
Oh, no.
He bolded and in red bolded the highlights so Mel might actually read this letter.
Yeah, so he's talking about the other cool African-American, Elon Musk.
Right. It took me a while to catch that. I was like, African-American. Elon. I don't know. Elon American
so
now?
He recently spoke at the Neural Information Processing Systems Conference, and I have been looking for video from that all week and have yet to been able to find it. So I'm assuming this is the big AI conference. He did a big AI presentation there, and I don't have any idea what he said at this point.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to find the video. They posted all kinds of other stuff from that conference, but I could not find this. We will continue to look for it, and that will definitely be something we talk about moving forward.
But the bottom line, he says, is that Tesla is dialing back their promise of how much better their autopilot will be than a regular driver. Mm-hmm. He points out, interestingly, that Lyft drivers, these would be people that you would expect to be very experienced. They spend a lot of time on the road. Not every Lyft driver, but in mass, they are 20% better than the average driver. And I experienced this, you know, doing
20% is not that much better. It's not even 100%. They're not even twice as good.
Well, for humans, we only have control over a fixed amount of incidents mm-hmm. that we could encounter on the road. So I can't be any better at avoiding a truck who's like a semi whose driver has fallen asleep and is veering into me that I don't see. I can't be any better at that were I an intoxicated, completely impaired driver versus, you know, a Formula One high speed expert driver. You know, you can't avoid everything.
No.
Stuff happens.
Yeah.
Debris in the road gets thrown into your windshield. You crash. I mean, those things you cannot avoid. But if you were autopilot with radar, you might be able to avoid it. So there's like this debate as to how much better Tesla will be. And he says that Tesla is kind of going back on its promise. It's not going to be as good as Elon envisioned. And that is kind of sad. And as well, did Elon say that the cars would be level 4? That's SAE level 4 or SAE level 5. I would point to the chart, but it's fallen off the wall. And I agree. We don't have hard data on this. Mm-hmm. It is sort of a he said, she said sort of thing, or he said.
He said, she said.
And so I think that it's a lot of good food for thought. The drive LA to New York City is still on. It hasn't been canceled. It was supposed to have happened by the end of this year, like crush Tom's car.
Uh-huh.
But then Elon pushed it back to January. I don't know where that puts us with Crush Tom's car.
Doesn't put us anywhere. It's just got to happen. It's got to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I got my sledgehammer. I'm working
on it.
Okay.
I'm working on it actively.
Thanks, Joel. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah.
Now, Tim James has written to us. Line up. Swag? Freebies?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we just talked about this. We just talked about it a little bit before the letter. So he said, Elon said there'd be something special for the 118,000 of us who lined up first day.
I think those were total orders.
That's something special of the lined up the first day. That was that you get to configure after the people who stayed in their warm homes.
Yeah. And he's telling us how
you get disappointment.
Properly pronounce the words Sydney. And Australia should be Australia.
I think we're going to need some secondary help.
Yeah, I'm looking out at CC, like, but she's fallen asleep because we've bored her to death. Brian Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
Definition of battery. He's referring to my rant in last week's show about batteries.
I know, man.
He says it doesn't matter.
What?
You can string a billion batteries together and they're still a battery.
One battery. All right.
So he said that a 9-volt battery is actually 6 1.5-volt batteries. I can't believe I've gone decades playing with 9-volt batteries and that I never knew that. Oh my God.
You never ripped one open?
No, but now I have one more inane thing I need to look for on YouTube.
There you go. You got to rip one open.
Oh,
Franco
Capizzo,
he got his configuration. Now, we don't know from Franco whether or not he stood in line with you, Robert.
No, he probably just, you know, had a nice day with his family and maybe even the next day or two dropped up. Uh-huh. I'll drop my reservation in.
Let's make it happen.
I'll get in before Robert anyway. So, Franco, good to you, man. I wonder what color you got. Brian Lowe.
The white whale has been revealed. Unless we've been Photoshop trolled, which I guess is possible.
Well, he shows us a screenshot of his phone with 120 kilowatt being delivered at a supercharger. He said he was down to a very low state of charge. I think it was 9%.
Yeah.
I've increased the size of this picture. I've analyzed it. I sent it to the NSA.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I sent it to the NSA be completely scrubbed.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't written back to me, but we have a sticker. It's signed here.
But the real question is, so Brian sent us a picture of the 120. We got another picture of the 120 from another listener.
Was there a picture? I never saw a picture. He just said he got 120.
Oh, he said he actually hit it, but he only sent a picture of 118.
That's correct.
Oh, so you're out.
Wah. That's James Cooey.
Sorry, James, you're out. So that means
thanks for writing us. We love you anyway.
The signed autograph sticker goes to Brian. You're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, Brian. That's cool awesome. On good work.
You've crushed a myth. You can get 120 kilowatts out of a supercharger.
The next letter is to you from Ian Abercrombie. He says he's listening to you go on and on with misinformation about the battery in South Australia.
Again, I yield. It's a battery. Even though there's like a million 2170 cells, it's a battery.
The next letter comes from Eugene Paluk. I don't know. I probably butchered that.
He's just another Canadian,
yet
he says.
Another Canadian who asks us if we had forgot about Jeff Dawn and his contract with Tesla. And what I will say is we haven't forgotten. We may have just misplaced his thinking about him.
Yeah, we touch on him every so often. Great for you to bring him up.
Yeah.
And the miracles that he is going to bring along. I know a lot of the, probably this... I don't know. It's almost like going to some mystic or psychic or something, you know. They're delving into the minds of the Tesla community and the Borg of Tesla to say there must be some amazing battery breakthrough to make the semi the price that it is with all that battery power. And, you know, this is just cleaning up and improving the efficiencies within the manufacturing process and the cooling and the power electronics. And I'm sure Jeff has a lot to do with that. Yeah. We just don't know any details.
So Dr. Dawn has won a gold medal in engineering, the Canadian gold medal, a prize. And there's a video.
That's just Canadian.
There's a video on this electric article that Eugene added on with this thing. So he has a research partnership with Tesla. They built a research lab near him, about 15 minutes from him in, where you say, Nova Scotia?
Nova Scotia.
So
near Halifax.
And they have basically three main goals of this research partnership. Lower the cost of lithium ion batteries. Check. Thank you very much. Increase their lifetime capabilities. Thank you very much. Check. And increase the energy density. So that's more energy, less material. That means a lighter battery that lasts longer and is cheaper. Can you sign me up? Well, we'll take all of that all day long.
And Jeff is enjoying his Tesla, which he got as part of this deal.
Yeah, so he's doing some amazing work, and his group is making some amazing, amazing breakthroughs. The next letter comes from James Roberts in regards to the emergency brake.
Yeah, and in fact, I printed this up last night.
Uh-huh.
I printed up, if you press and hold the park button while moving for 5 seconds.
Hold it.
Hold the park button. That's at the tip of the gear selector.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold it for 5 seconds while you're moving, the car will gradually apply the electronic parking brake, bringing you to a complete and controlled stop. I tried this 3 times at different speeds. Gradually is not a word I would use. It kind of jerks the brake on, does slow you, and you don't have to do anything. And so this is most likely what's going on with the emergency braking that Tesla employs. If something's going wrong, like you don't pay attention to the autopilot signal, the red lights flash, it says no longer can you autopilot. And if you're like asleep or incapacitated, this is probably the process by which the car stops.
But when you did it, the car didn't automatically make its way over to the side of the road, I'm
assuming. It did not turn on the emergency flashers.
Okay.
So I'm not really anxious to do this on the freeway at, you know, freeway speeds. Maybe if I'm on the freeway in the middle of the night and there isn't anybody around, I would rather do this in a caravan situation.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if it turns on the brake lights.
Anytime you engage either regen or the brake by pushing the brake pedal, the brake light goes on.
In all cases? Because I have heard that only if you're doing heavy regen, like towards the end is when the brake lights kind of go on.
Well, you can see the situation of your car if you look at it and one of the screens that shows your car.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the version of Tesla you have. If it's a Gen 1, you don't see the car unless you bring up the Tesla image of the car by tapping on the T in the center screen.
Mm-hmm.
But mine, Gen 4 with autopilot, has an image of the car in the speedometer area of the binnacle display.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you release the accelerator and you start regenerating,
mm-hmm.
you see the brake lights come on.
Okay.
So if you're not using the high regen setting, that may be different. I don't go there.
Okay. So the next letter comes from Mark Bylock, and he used your promo code instead of the best promo code, which is Laney 9300.
April Robert 3177.
I don't know. I feel still like it should just be Laney 9300 that gets used.
Well, but did you get the Powerwall?
He used Spin the Bottle.
Did you get the Powerwall?
I haven't gotten the Powerwall, but I'm still there.
Did you get a confirmatory
email?
I
haven't, because I have two referrals that have not yet been delivered. So they have to be delivered for final confirmation.
This referral code promotion is only going through December 31st.
Right, but I think it doesn't matter for me as long as those particular two take.
So we don't know what's going to happen after December 31st.
Yeah, we don't know what the next one is. I would love for one more referral code to pop up before December 31st, because I am curious about one of the secret levels, right? We don't know all of the information about the
secret. Well, it's been kind of published, but
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't seen it on my phone, so it doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Secret level number one. But anywho, Mark's message, Mark is a podcaster, the co-host of a show called The Whiskey Topic, which is probably good.
You probably should listen to it since you drink whiskey.
I probably should. But he's had some falcon wing door
issues
as it were.
Hmm.
They have also decided to attack his family from time to time.
Including him. He's learned some new dance moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he used to think Mel was crazy, and he is. But not about this particular thing. The falcon wing doors really do attack people. He says he wears tight pants occasionally and hits the all doors close button, and they don't stop when they hit something.
Yeah, so he does the falcon tuck and roll. Falcon tuck and roll.
And he really loves his car, except for the fact that it's trying to kill him.
He also loves the show. And thank you, Mark, for writing to us. And Mazel Tov on your twins. That's why he got the Model X instead of waiting for a 3.
For the kids.
Yeah. Lastly, I got a message from CJ
Twitter. CJ?
And he wanted to know, for you, Tom, could you use multiple credit cards for your down payment on the Model 3, or does he have to max out a single credit card?
So I don't know about the down payment. And so my original $1,000 deposit, I believe, was on a credit card.
Okay.
And I believe when you push the buy button, you have to give them, I know you have to give them an additional $2,500, because I did.
On a credit card?
Correct.
Okay.
On a credit card. And I gave them a different credit card for that. So I'm up to two.
Okay.
When I've already confirmed my car loan the very next day with my credit union.
Okay.
So I'm good to go as far as paying for the car. The only thing left is going to be that down payment. I would personally like the difference between, I didn't take a loan out for the full amount. So there's the money that I gave down. So I have another $12,000 additional.
I know where it's not coming from.
From you?
The Patreons.
Oh, that's all right. It doesn't have, I'm not expecting it to come from the Patreons. But I am going to do everything in my power to put it on one of my credit cards so I can get either a cash back or some other sort of situation from my credit card company. Now, I have done this recently.
Yeah.
I put most of the Volt on a credit card to do this very thing.
Okay.
And then I just paid it off that month.
So, where are you going to pick it up?
I don't know. I'm not picking up in Fremont, if that's your question. I'm hoping to pick it up in Van Nuys.
I expect they are going to have to ramp up their delivery capabilities enormously. So that Van Nuys delivery center can't be long for this world.
No, I mean, it could be long for this world. I mean, I think it's still a service. It's mostly a service center, but there's a delivery center attached to it also. I guess the real question is, there are other things. After I made the order, there were four or five other additional steps that they wanted me to fill out.
Right.
right, to take delivery, which was like put in your driver's license information, put in your insurance information, your other registration details, whether or not you were going to have a trade-in, what your payment method was going to be. Did you not get contacted until you completed all of those steps?
No. They were helping me to walk through all of that.
Okay.
To make sure that I had my insurance company ready to provide them with information so that the car, you know, when they deliver it to me,
right,
is insured.
Yeah. So they don't ask any of the, they don't help you with any of that. Now there's just an insurance pane,
mm-hmm,
where it says, what's the name of your insurance company? What's your policy number, your agent's phone number? And then you upload a picture of it.
Okay.
Of your insurance card to the website. I don't know if that's different from the S. Maybe how they do the S now. I don't know if you did your S.
I think that they did that as well. Okay. They already had my driver's license, mm-hmm, on file. They want a copy of your driver's license.
Right.
They want to make sure that they get their payment. So basically, when you walk up for delivery, you're signing a couple of papers and you're out of there.
Yeah.
And they'll give you a walkthrough. They typically, when I was at the hub, the delivery hub, just, mm-hmm, for recall, this was back in March of this year.
The delivery hub in the marina?
No, this was a delivery hub in Culver City.
Okay.
That was a temporary 1 month deal. They were doing this at the end of the big push that they, right, had, while offering still Supercharger for Life, which now the only way you can get Supercharger for Life is using one of our referral codes.
One of our amazing referral codes.
Robert3177.
Yeah, that one's good.
It's an odd day.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
And so they did like a group teach, uh-huh, on how Teslas work.
Yeah.
And then they had people there to help you sort of like ask individual questions. Mm. I still have not seen, and of course the populace delivery of the non-Tesla employee hasn't begun, whether or not they're going to have some sort of a AV built into the car. Mm. So when you get in, the car says, "Hi, Tom, this is the first time you've ridden in a Model 3.
Well, I think
let
we would
me
have...
tell you about what I have to offer you."
I think that would be amazing, but I think we would have seen that out of employee cars. Also, one thing that you don't understand
don't
is
know.
That there is no video player built into the Tesla browser, so you don't watch videos while you're driving.
True, but they could hardwire it in or put it into the drive within the car so that you could have this sort of like animated driver's guide,
yeah,
and that doesn't work while you're driving.
All right.
Yeah.
They could.
We'll see.
So we'll see. I will finish my taking the steps to complete delivery. It says on my page, we will reach out to you to schedule my delivery date. That's how it goes. That's how this show goes. This show is now over, Robert.
Done.
116 is in the books. We'll see you next week at Vandenberg. Again, it's info@talkingtesla.net if,
yes,
you want to get information about where we may or may not be.
Yeah, there's some good food locations, a decent Mexican restaurant we stopped at last, yeah, time with a bunch of Tesla folks.
And don't plan on using any superchargers on the way up or back, Robert, because we all know they're going to be busy.
Yeah, well, there's a nice one in Buellton, and yeah, I think it's going to be cool.
Right.
I think we could have a lot of fun. I misspoke. We were with a bunch of SpaceX folks.
There you go.
But I look forward to it. Look forward to next week.
Yeah.
And drive electric.
Thanks, Robert.
Bye.
Miss you, Mel. See you soon.
Talking Tesla is a production of Fully Boo Incorporated, hosted by Mel Herbert, Tom Wolfson, and Robert Rosenberg, edited by Eliza Jane Barnes, and produced by CC Herbert and Mel Herbert. To support Talking Tesla, go to patreon.com/talkingtesla. To find our referral codes, go to talkingtesla.net/about. And finally, if you love the show, go write us a review on iTunes.